Live a Little by Squidgy and Elderwitty. This is a Stargate Atlantis AU in which John Shepard is a tattoo artist and Rodney is, well, pretty much Rodney. Read by Squidgy. Live a little. The words echo through Rodney McKay's thoughts, a souvenir of the dressing down given to him by his sister for missing another family dinner earlier that week. He'd made excuses and promised to make it up to her. It's not me, Mare. It's Madison. Jeannie's eyes lit up at the thought of her young daughter. She adores you. And Caleb, well, he's used to you as well, she continued, earning a derisive snort. You're the only family I've got left. I don't want to lose you. You won't, he promised. Yes, well, I'm ordering you to do something different. Do something else. Get out of your routine. Just do something different. Rodney furrowed his brow at her tone. Like what? Here, she said, while thrusting an envelope into his hands. What is it? He ripped it open and squeaked. A tattoo? Yes, Mare, a tattoo. Rodney gawked, though she ignored him and continued. I went with Amy the day her divorce was final, when she got one. She said it symbolized a new beginning. And now, she aimed her sisterly gaze at him, you are hereby ordered to have a new beginning. Get your head out of your lab for once. Jeannie squeezed his arm, then turned and marched off, leaving Rodney holding his gift certificate, speechless for once. Rodney fidgets in his car, eyes darting between the gift certificate in his hand and the fluorescent lights of Pegasus Tattoo and Body Piercing Studio. A man in a tight black t-shirt walks by, his right arm decorated in an Asian-inspired theme. The man turns back to squint suspiciously at Rodney before disappearing into the shop. Might as well, Rodney grumbles, lumbering out. And if the attractive guy happens to be the deciding factor, well, nobody needs to know that. He strides to the door, pulls it open, and is immediately accosted by the overwhelming scent of disinfectant. He marvels at the brightness and overall cleanliness of the studio, as well as a relative normalcy of the patrons, and decides to push his preconceived notions he's had of sailors and dirt and bodies pierced within an inch of their lives out of his mind. He checks out the artwork adorning the walls instead of watching the needles punch ink into the flinching skin of the man in front of him. Hey, stiff, Rodney hears someone calls. He looks up from the picture of tribal symbols to see black t-shirt guy again, noticing just how damn attractive he is, tattoos and all. What can we do for you? Rodney crosses to the counter, showing his gift certificate and ignoring the stiff remark. Well, my sister gave me this. He hands over the paper and looks back to the displays. But I don't know if there's anything I'd want to put on my body. Permanently. You could get something pierced, you know. Rodney's whole body seizes for a second, and he rejects that idea immediately. No, I don't think so, he avows, then asks, I just don't get the whole piercing thing. He trails off as he notices a small silver hoop spiked through the man's eyebrow, mostly hidden behind a flop of dark hair. The smoothly curving lock is in sharp contrast to the wild spikiness of the rest of it. Well, that looks good on you, he says in a conciliatory tone. Do you, have anything else pierced? He asks, holding out his hand in an introduction. I'm Rodney. John, is the response he gets, along with a firm handshake. And as for other things pierced, well, John looks down towards his crotch while waiting for Rodney's reaction from under his eyelashes. When Rodney flinches again, John gives a dirty chuckle. I'm just fucking with you. Just this, thrusting his tongue out at Rodney, displaying a silver barbell gleaming in the fluorescent light. Wow. That's, wow. Rodney studies the piercing, distracted by the tongue waggling John seems to be doing for extra effort. Doesn't that, he starts. Didn't hurt a bit. And no, it doesn't get in the way of anything. If anything, John continues, it makes things fun. John leans in and husks. More fun. It takes Rodney a few moments to come back to reality. Yes, well, piercings are right out. I can draw most anything up for you if you want, you know, John adds, sounding smug. Tell me, what was the first thing that went through your head when your sister gave you that? Honestly, I thought, why the fuck did you just give me a gift certificate for a tattoo? Or body piercing, John injects, distracting Rodney again. Yes, well, the second thought was, well, actually there were two things. So, what were they? A TARDIS and the number 42. So, Doctor Who versus Douglas Adams. You know who wins that fight, right? He asserts, stepping out from behind the counter and into Rodney's personal space. It takes a second for Rodney to realize that yes, the hot tattooed man in front of him knows science fiction, specifically his two favorite subjects, invalidating yet another prejudice he didn't realize he had. No? Easy, John adds, pulling at the button fly on his jeans, easing them open slowly as Rodney blushes to the roots of his hair. John pulls his boxers along with the waist of his jeans and reveals a small blue tattoo amongst the swath of hair on his hip bone. TARDIS, he says, matter-of-factly. This time, Rodney's mental journey of imagination lasts even longer and ends only when the decorated skin is tucked roughly back into John's pants. So, he begins, finally able to look John in the eye. TARDIS it is. Great, John offers. Now, where? Oh, here, of course, Rodney answers. No, John starts pointing and poking at different parts of Rodney, from arm to chest to back to butt. Here, 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 or, oh, that. Well, Rodney adds, tossing around the possibilities. I'm, not sure. Where would you suggest? It's going to depend on a few things, like how big you want it, he waggles his eyebrows suggestively, and how much you want to show it off. Rodney considers his options. I think I should be able to cover it up, you know, not to have it on display all the time. Rodney thinks for a minute, then adds, but not totally hide it. You know what I mean? When John looks quizzical, Rodney offers, I'm a physicist, in labs and offices all day long, meetings with some pretty important and conservative people. Cautious. That's understandable, John replies, nodding. Come on, follow me. Rodney nods. Sure. As the two make their way to the back of the shop, John stops at a station. Hey, Lauren, could you give me some temporaries? He asks a heavily tattooed co-worker. Lauren tells his customer to relax for a minute, then puts his tattoo gun down and strips off his gloves. After a quick stretch, he searches his cabinet and finds a large manila envelope, handing it over to John with a smile. Here you go. Thanks. As they start up again, he explains, it's a little more private back here. Plus, we got a setup made just for you. He leads Rodney into a room about the size of a large walk-in closet and flips on the lights. The walls are a dull beige with one full-length mirror hanging on the back of the door, two more angled on either side for almost a full 360-degree view. As John shuts the door behind them, he says, okay, here we go. Here we go, what? Since you're not sure where you want your tat, we can put on some temporaries. He pulls the application fluid out of the manila envelope, then waggles it and the stickered-filled envelope at Rodney. And you can check out how they look in the mirror. I suggest you strip out of any clothing covering up all your options, and we'll see what you like, what's covered up enough, how things look. Rodney doesn't notice John palming a temporary with the bottle of application liquid. Rodney throws John a questioning look. Strip? Yep, he replies, eye suggestive. Rodney gawks at John for a moment before doing as he's told, easing his pants off his hips and letting them puddle at his feet. He hesitates slightly before pulling his orange fleece and t-shirt over his head in one fluid motion and discarding them to one side. John ogles Rodney briefly before positioning him in front of the lighted mirror, being careful not to let him trip. Rodney blurts, "It hurts?" which makes John immediately drop his hands. Jesus, Rodney, I was just moving you to... No, Rodney meets John's eyes in the mirror. Will the tattoo hurt? Oh, that? Nah, John dismisses. It mostly feels like somebody's scratching you. Also, depends on where you get it. When Rodney throws him a questioning look, he adds, you know, nerve endings and stuff. Well, what do you mean? Well, John starts, happy to have an excuse to touch Rodney. Like here, he touches Rodney's ribcage, fingers light and ticklish, earning him a nervous grin and a flinch. there's plenty of nerve endings, so it can be more painful if you get it here. But here, John runs his fingers down Rodney's back near the shoulder blades, caressing them easily. See? Not as many nerve endings. Yeah, well, Rodney says dismissively. Sensitive or not, if it's on my back, I won't ever be able to see it. He looks at John. So I think my back is probably out. I guess that means your ass is out too? John asks. That's a shame. You have a spectacular ass, he adds in a husky voice, making Rodney blush deeply. Clearly pleased with how much he's flustering Rodney, John starts. So, I was just here or here, pointing to the outside of Rodney's biceps. Here or here, as he trails down Rodney's hips. Here and here, running his hands along the back of Rodney's thighs. Or here and here, bending to finish up with his palms warming the outside of Rodney's calves. Those are probably the most appropriate and, eyeing Rodney as he straightens up, easiest to cover up. And if you always wear a t-shirt under your shirt, well then... John's voice trails off as he gently touches Rodney's pectoral muscle, knuckles lightly trailing over a perky nipple as he moves. Yes, well, that. Okay. The effect John has on Rodney's verbal and all other bodily function centers becomes quite apparent to him. He's hit by a wave of modesty, Rodney putting his hands in front of his boxers. John passes behind Rodney, running his hand from pectoral over his shoulder and down his back. Unless you want a tramp stamp, he adds. Tramp stamp? Rodney scrunches his face in confusion. Yeah. John runs his hand over Rodney's lower back again, applying a small temporary in the same fluid motion. A tattoo right here. Some folks say it started to remind you of the name of the, let's just say, popular person you're having fun with, he smirks. Rodney feels the dampness and looks over at his shoulder, but John dismisses his concern, showing him the applicator bottle while trying to hide a grin. Sorry, I must have gotten some on my fingers. Go ahead and finish pulling off your shoes and pants, so we can do this a little easier, John says casually. He pulls a few transfers out of the envelope and finishes. Boxers, too. Rodney thrusts his head up at the request, losing balance half a second later. Here. John steadies him with a hand on each hip, rather than on his hunched shoulders, and squeezes suggestively. What kind of... Rodney starts to demand, but is quickly cut off. Look, do you want the damn tattoo or not? Rodney sighs heavily, thrown off balance by the whole situation. Fine. His boxers land at his feet, and he kicks them onto the stack of his clothes, muttering quietly. He cups his hands in front of himself, though John seems to be focusing more on his rear. Can we just, he demands, gesturing with his hands before realizing that it leaves him waving in the breeze. As he clamps back down over his crotch, he finishes, can we just get on with it? Fine. John hurries about his work, applying temporary tattoos with a light covering application fluid in a rapid motion, hitting the outside of Rodney's biceps first, then moving on to the outside of his right calf before Rodney gets a look at the designs. What is that? He demands, pointing at his leg. It's a temporary, Rodney, John replies with an obvious patience. It's a Hello Kitty sticker. Yeah, well, John allows, standing up. These are the temporaries that we give kids who come in with their parents. You did say you wanted to do this, right? He asks a bit impatiently. Yes, but it's Hello Kitty. And a Teletubby, tapping Rodney's right bicep, and a My Little Pony over here on Rodney's left bicep. Just a few more and we're done. Rodney sputters as if to protest, but when he closes his eyes and hunches his shoulders into feet, John makes quick work, plastering more temporary tattoos over Rodney's body. As he gathers up the stray paper, he asks, are you sure you don't want one on your ass? Kind of a shame not to decorate something so pretty. No, thank you, Rodney retorts, stretching his lips into a thin line of disdain. Well, can't blame a guy for trying. He steps back and says a little bit more clinically, think we're just about done here. You want to take a look? He gestures Rodney towards the mirror, then says in this tone of 1,000 repetitions, go ahead and take a look. Remember, you're looking at area, not substance. Yeah, well, it's hard not to consider the substance when I have a Hello Kitty staring up for me from my thigh. Come on, Rodney. It's just temporary. So take it off. Sorry, buddy. It's there for a few days, John says, smirking. A few days? Rodney shrieks, gathering a nod from John. You can go ahead and get dressed now, John says, as he leans back against the wall to enjoy the view. So, Rodney demands, anger curled in his voice. Was this even necessary? Pointing to his clothes. Yeah, well, kind of, John temporizes. Kind of? Rodney barks back. I said you had a nice ass. I just wanted to see it. You know, uncovered. You masher! Rodney spits as he buttons his jeans. I'm going to report you, he threatens, voice muffled and arms flailing as he tries to get the orange fleece back over his head. That is a clear violation of ethics and protocol and Jesus, Rodney, ethics? It's not like tattoo artists take the Hippocratic Oath or nothing. I'm free to oogle any fine ass I can. John laughs internally at the old-fashioned slur as Rodney almost loses his balance while shoving his feet back into his shoes. Jovially penitent, he starts, I just... Good day, sir, Rodney growls at him, eyes cut to a slit. He dismisses John with a pointed look and storms out of the room. John starts after him, but stops to retrieve a piece of paper settling to the floor in Rodney's wake. He picks up the gift certificate, turning it in his hands. The phone clamors throughout the Miller household, breaking the stillness and threatening to wake a napping Madison. Hello? Jeannie says quietly. Jeannie Miller? Comes the uncertain reply. Not if you're selling something. No. This is John Shepherd from Pegasus Tattoos. You brought your brother a gift certificate? Jeannie growls. He is not allowed to exchange it for cash. Put him on the phone. Now! No, Jeannie, no. John stops her. He actually came in and we had a session so he could decide where he wanted his TARDIS placed. He did? She asks, voice rising with incredulity. She wasn't sure she'd be successful at glowering her kid brother into doing something she told him to. So, a TARDIS, eh? Figures. Yeah, well, he liked mine. A smile blossoms at the thought of John Shepherd getting her stodgy brother to open up to consider a tattoo. She remembers how at ease he'd made her and her friend Amy feel, exuding calm and charming both of them. So, Mr. Shepherd, what can I do for you? She asks. Or rather, what did he do now? She restates. Well, he kind of left in a hurry. Left his gift certificate behind. I had to go through the shop records to get your info, because I want to get it back to him. Thing is, I don't have his contact information. Could you maybe give me his phone number or his address? No problem. His apartment is... Jeannie stops herself. Wait, why did he leave in a hurry? Well, that's kind of my fault, he confesses. I had him in the back room, you know, with the mirrors, so he could see what a tattoo would look like on different parts of his body. I think I came on a little too strong. John stops for a second, then adds, plus he was a little mad that I'd gotten him naked. Ew! That's my brother! As far as I'm concerned, he doesn't have a naked. Jeannie spits. Sorry, John offers unrepentantly. He is cute, though. I would like to make it up to him. This time he does sound sincere. Jeannie smiles at how bad this slinky tattoo artist must have it for her brother. Okay, but you be nice to him, she commands. She gives him Rodney's details, though, since he doesn't keep regular hours for work, she can't tell him which phone number to try first. Rodney's mind had not been on work for most of the day. It was still with John in the booth at that tattoo parlor, wavering between seething and intrigue. The seething was starting to lose out. In truth, he couldn't really be all that mad at John. Any man who went to those lengths to flirt with him couldn't be all that. Raddick had been muttering most of the morning, interspersed with yelling at Rodney for being distracted enough to knock over things in the lab. The muttering turns to frantic yelling, and most likely cussing in check, when Rodney twitches his laptop into a beaker, sending it shattering to the floor and splashing industrial solvent over their pant legs. McKay, Raddick sighs, pulling his phone to alert the front desk that there's been a chemical spill. He acknowledges the response and the next actions before dragging Rodney out of the lab. Where are we going? Rodney asks. When Raddick throws him that look, he realizes, oh great, Silkwood shower time. Raddick grimaces while he's scrubbing with the industrial soap. Though the spill had only affected their legs, the policy was clear on actions to be taken after any type of caustic chemical spill. Rodney's mutterings prompts Raddick to ask, "What?" "Nothing," Rodney says defeatedly, giving up the scouring of the temporary tattoo on his leg when he realizes that it's not coming off. The glance Raddick threw Rodney's way at the mutterings turns into a pointed staring. "McKay, you have something on lower back." "What?" Rodney twists, trying to see the offending item. "What is it?" Raddick leaves his shower to get a closer look at the object. "It's burning through my skin, isn't it? It's going to eat through my spinal cord, I just know it. It's going to leave me paralyzed until my brain melts. Why is it that smart ones always have to die first?" "Rodney," Raddick commands, dismissing the scientist's gloomy tone. "Chemical only splashed on front of our legs. Hold still, let me see." Raddick squints to overcome his current lack of glasses. "I knew it. My skin is sloughing off already. Damn it. Tell me the truth. You can see clear to my spine already, can't you?" Rodney hunches over, desolate. Raddick leans in further, rubbing his eyes, examines the blemish. When he realizes what it is, he shoots up. "Oh! What? Rodney, is not sloughing. I was merely surprised. You have a small blue..." "Blue? What? Creature, woman, thing. What? At the base of your spine." Rodney stops trying to feel the spot, realizing what it is. "Is not something I expected to encounter today, that is all. And may I say," he adds, looking Rodney over, "that I also did not expect you to have all these tattoos of cartoon characters. Also, I wish I still did not know this fact." Raddick goes back to finish his shower, as Rodney stands under the warm stream of water, face planted deeply in his hands. With the rest of the day shot, Rodney decides to leave Raddick in charge of the chemical spill paperwork and head home early. He's no use anyway, and always gets unnerved with all the foreign swearing. As he pulls up to his apartment, he sees a man standing outside his door, though it takes a second to realize that it's John Shepard. Stomping away from his car, he calls across the parking lot. "What? Are you stalking me now? Didn't you get a good enough look at my ass yesterday?" A soft gasp makes him look to his left as he grabs his mail. "Oh, hi, Mrs. Ratzenberger." "Oh, I got plenty good enough look at your ass," John challenges, voice loud enough to ensure Ratzenberger and the rest of Rodney's neighbors hear. As Rodney puts his key in the lock, he adds, "Came by to give you this," placing the gift certificate on Rodney's stack of mail. "And to apologize," he adds, voice quieter and uncertain. Appeased, and against his better judgment, Rodney rests his forehead against the door. "You want to come in?" John brightens, and he follows Rodney in, closing the door behind them. "Look, Rodney, I'm really sorry. I know I came on a little strong." "You think?" Rodney asks. "I was, you know, flustered, and you're all..." He gestures at John. "With the hot..." Blushes bloom across both men's faces. John shifts closer and brings a hand up to Rodney's chin. "With the hot?" "Shut up," Rodney demands before grabbing two fistfuls of John's shirt and pushing him against the wall, kissing him pointedly to ensure his obedience. Rodney fidgets on the bench, ignoring the burning sensation as he clutches at the pants crumpled up next to him. "Be still," John demands. "I'm almost done." "Yes, yes, hurry up." A few more strokes and John pulls back. "There, that'll do it." Rodney finally allows himself to look, surveying the inked skin covering his hip bone, admiring the newly placed TARDIS tattoo. "Wow, it's perfect." He looks it over again. "And we match, too." John thinks of his own inked hip, bearing a design identical to Rodney's. "Yeah, buddy, we sure do." This has been Live a Little by Squidgy and Elderwitty, as read by Squidgy. Thanks!